morning, everyone.
Loving that new mic.
Welcome to our morning worship service. Great to see you here. All God's people said, amen. And let's bow in prayer. Father, we praise you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for our glorious Savior. We praise you for what he did for us that day on Calvary's cross, paid the price in full for all of our sins, so we could go free, we could be delivered from our sins, given new lives, new hearts, and be on our way to heaven. And Father, we thank you for gathering us together here again this morning. We pray for your Spirit to bless this hour together, bless pastors who brings the message, fill him with your Spirit and use him to help us to understand and see and apply your word by your Spirit in our lives. And we thank you that we can gather around the Lord's table and honor our Savior as we remember the body and blood that he gave that day to save each one of us. Father, we pray for all who are here today that they will be blessed by this time together, that they will be refreshed, encouraged, challenged, whatever each of us needs. And we pray that if there's anyone here today that does not yet know Jesus as their Savior, they have not trusted in him, we pray that they would make that decision today and be born again. We commit this hour to you and give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
This morning we're looking at Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. Beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, that's Paul and Barnabas, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil infected against the brethren. Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided. Part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault raised, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews, with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it, and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man in Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on my feet." And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which, when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passage with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these things, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that we can gather here on this Lord's Day morning. We thank you, Lord, for your constant care and your blessings to us. We just ask you, Lord, to strengthen each one of us and guide us and help us in all that we do, that we would be pleasing in your sight. We pray for those who are having difficulties physically, that you might strengthen them, those who may have difficulties spiritually as well, that you would give them assurance in their hearts, meet their needs in every way. Pray that you will work in a very special way, Lord. We thank you for your goodness and grace and mercy to us day by day. We do pray, our Father, for these who are recovering. Thank you, Kim Kennedy. We pray that she would recover completely from her surgery. We pray also for Russ, as he's having a great deal of trouble with his breathing. We do pray that he will be able to come to our church here, and that we'll have an opportunity to speak to him. We just pray that your will would be done in all these things. We just thank you for your many blessings to us. We do pray for our missionaries today. We thank you especially for the Bartons and their work out in Utah, reaching these people who are blinded by false religion. We pray that you will help them to understand the truth of your word, that they may turn to you. And Lord, we think of our country as we reading about the immigration and all the problems that are going on. We just pray, Lord, have mercy upon us, we pray. Give us wisdom and understanding regarding these things. And we pray that you will undertake concerning the upcoming election. Pray that it would be fair and that it would be right, and that we might end up with the right results. Lord, you know what's best. So often we don't. We just wonder. We try to figure things out. But you're the one who is in control. So we leave it in your hands and pray that your will would be done, whatever it may be. We thank you, Lord, for the way in which you work in every one of our lives, and pray that we would indeed submit ourselves and commit ourselves to you and to do your will in all things. Thank you so much. Thank you for all the blessings of life, and pray that you will guide and help us today. Encourage us, strengthen us, and show us your will, we pray. May Jesus Christ be praised. We pray in his name. We're completing the missionary journey that Paul and Barnabas had started. This is their first missionary journey into the lands of the Gentiles, reaching out from Antioch going out into the hinterland, reaching these people with the gospel of Christ. The Holy Spirit is guiding them. He says, let's separate these men, you know, and send them out to serve as missionaries to these people who have never heard the gospel. They had been opposed by Satan, but they had seen God's power work in a mighty way to bring many to salvation. You see, in these first few verses, it's so encouraging. They went to this city called Iconium, and they met together in the synagogue of the Jews. First of all, that's the place where they always started out to proclaim with the Jewish people and the Gentiles that would come in. And it says, a great multitude, both of Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. So this is encouraging, isn't it? You know, people, the missionaries go out many times and they preach, sometimes for years before they get any response at all. Here, Paul and Barnabas were able to go, and they got a great multitude that came to Christ because of the preaching of the Word of God. God blessed them in a special way, and everything was going well. But then it says in verse 2, I think I pointed this out last week, wherever God is blessing, the devil's always there to oppose, isn't he? You know? And that's what it says. The unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles. That is, the other people around and about, you know, whispering, oh, well, you know, these people are not really who they say they are. They're trying to trick you. And that kind of thing. But anyway, we find here they stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected. Here they are working against what Paul and Barnabas are trying to do. But they were not intimidated at all. I guess maybe they'd gotten used to it by now. What do you think? Paul spent so much time in jail and all these things, and no doubt he wasn't worried about it at all. He's trusting in God to see them through. So it says, long time they stayed there, speaking boldly in the Lord. They didn't let it bother them, right? That these people were opposing them. I think sometimes we're so upset when somebody opposes us. You know, actually, you should be glad when people are opposing you, right? That means you're saying something that's important, something that's true. You know, if nobody ever opposes you, then, you know, you're just going along to get along, right? And anyhow, be that as it may, they were continuing to serve the Lord. This is what they were doing. Speaking boldly. They knew they were not afraid, and they continued to proclaim the gospel. But at the same time, you know, they did not have a death wish. When things got too hot and they started coming after them, they went off to another place. Did you see that? Down here in verse 5, it says there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them. So things were getting bad, right? And here, they went, they were aware of it, and they went on to another place. Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia. So, another province, I suppose, right? Well, out of the jurisdiction of these people, Paul and Barnabas going to another area so that they can continue the work. So here, we find them, that they had gone, they started out, as I said, from Antioch, and it was about a 90-mile trip that they went to Iconium, and now they're moving on out from there to these other cities of Lystra and Derbe, and they are proclaiming the message of Christ and of salvation. And there, he says, they preach the gospel. That's what they were doing, preaching the gospel. How that Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins, how that he was buried, and how he rose again the third day, you know. And these people, many of them were receiving it and accepting what he had to say. Others were opposed to it. So we find here that they're going along, and gives an incident here. As they were there in Lystra, I believe it was Lystra, yeah, a certain man at Lystra was in the audience. They were preaching, and they preached the gospel. And Paul looked out at this man, and he said, oh. You know, he was impotent in his feet. In other words, he couldn't walk. He said, never had. From the time he was born, he had never walked. And now, he's sitting there listening to Paul, enthralled by what he's hearing. And Paul looks at him and he says, that man looks like he might have the faith to believe, right? And sure enough, he said with a loud voice, stand on your feet. And he leaped up and walked. Oh, what a wonderful thing this was. It's like Peter back in the first part of Acts, where he did the same thing with another man there at the temple. And God was blessing and opening up the way for them to be able to reach these people. But notice here, these people misunderstood, didn't they? What does it say? It says when they saw what Paul had done, this healing of this man and the miracle that happened, they said, oh, the gods have come down to be with us. You know, they didn't worry about it, right? These were people that had worshipped these other gods all their life, Greek gods. Now here in our King James Version, it uses the names of Jupiter and Mercurius, which are the Roman gods. But the Greeks would be Zeus and Hermes. Okay? If you're interested in that, right? But anyway, they thought the gods had come down and to be with them. And so, since Paul was the chief speaker, they thought he was Hermes. And Barnabas, of course, was the head man, Zeus. And so, they were going to do a sacrifice. And hey, this is quite a moment, right? The gods have come down to be with us. My goodness, what in the world is going on here? And so they were getting their oxen out, getting the flowers out, and all these things, and to offer up a sacrifice to the gods, to rejoice. Because, you know, I did read that at some time in the past there was some kind of a legend about the gods coming down, you know, and the people had not received them. There was only one old couple that took them in and treated them right. So the gods got angry and they killed everybody else except this old couple. So I suppose the people didn't want that to happen again, right? So here we find they were going to worship them. They were going to serve them and take care of their needs. Anyway, when Paul and Barnabas realized what was going on, you know, that these people were going to make this sacrifice for them and treating them like gods. They were appalled, of course, and since they tore their clothes and they ran among the people saying, hey, wait a minute, you know, sir, why are you doing these things? We are men just like you. And we are preaching to you to turn away from these idols, from these vanities, this false religion, because it's not true. And we want you to worship the true and the living God, the one who is the creator of all things. He's the one who has made everything, right? God. We read it over in the book of Genesis. And all that has been created, He's the one who made it. And we are presenting Him, the unknown God, Paul calls Him. in another place, and the people were understood enough not to go through with the sacrifice.
But you know, these people, my goodness, people are funny, aren't they? What do you think?
Here, they're worshiping these men as if they were gods. And then just a little bit later, these other guys come along from the other city where Paul and Barnabas had been before, and they say, hey, you know, these people, they're cursed. You know, they're not telling you the truth. And so instead of worshiping them, they stone Paul to death. Well, supposedly, they think he's going to die. And that's what it says. They left him there, laying in the street. They thought he was dead. And Paul just gets up and goes home like him. So, was he dead? Was he not? You know, there's that place over in 1 Corinthians where he talks about, I knew a man in Christ 14 years ago that was calling into heaven. Maybe this was the time, I don't know. I'm just guessing. But anyway, because everybody says it was Paul. You know, that's something I've always wondered about. But Paul says, a certain man was caught up into heaven. Why does everyone else say that has to be Paul? He didn't say it was. But anyhow, at any rate, we find here that he's having quite an experience. And these people are stoning him to death, trying to. And they stoned Paul, threw him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. And he got up and went on his merry way. So, and they went back into town and started preaching the gospel to that city. Isn't it wonderful how they are consistent with what they're doing? They have a goal in mind, wasn't it? To reach these people with the truth of the gospel. And notice they do the same thing every time, right? Preaching the gospel. They weren't talking about anything else because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way. So why would we go around preaching something else? You know? So here they are proclaiming the gospel of Christ. And then it says they went back to the very same places where they had been persecuted. Huh? What do you think? Did these people have guts or what? What do you think? They were standing up for what they believed and not afraid to go back to the very places where they had been persecuted. And he says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Do we believe that? What do you think? Do we believe that we must go through much tribulation? I don't think we do. Yeah, I've never been persecuted. Have you been persecuted? No. None of us really have yet. But there's no mystery about the fact that it can certainly happen. And in other places around the world, the people know exactly what that verse is saying. Right? Because it says, through much tribulation, we enter into the kingdom of God. So God doesn't promise us a road to the garden. No. He promises us the tribulation and anguish that comes in this world that we have to face. And we have to continue on and be faithful to Him no matter what. And that's what Paul and Barnabas were telling these people. They didn't give them any fairy tales. They thought, no, you have to stand up for the truth. You have to live righteously in the midst of all these people and do what is right, no matter what. Whether they love you or whether they hate you. Right? And so he says, you're confirming their souls. And how wonderful it was that Paul and Barnabas were able to go back to encourage these believers. Now, they didn't have a whole lot of time, unfortunately, and I'm sure they would have liked to stay longer. But they were able to go and help them to grow in grace and knowledge of Christ and be strong in the Lord. So, and that's something that we all need. We need something to strengthen us and to help us along the way that we might be able to serve the Lord. And the notes here in verse 23 also, they ordain elders in every church. So they set the churches up and gave them their leaders, those that would be able to guide them and help them along the way. Someone had to be there to carry on the work, because Paul and Barnabas had to go back to where they came from. But it says they ordained elders in every church, and they prayed with fasting. So that means they had fervent prayer. They were praying and with fasting, and they commended them to the Lord on whom they had believed. So, and these people were getting their the strength that they need to keep on with their work. The churches were established, and hopefully would go on to serve the Lord. And then Paul and Barnabas had to go back to Antioch, where they came from, in a home base. It's like a missionary, you know, you go and evangelize a certain area, and then you go back to report to the churches that are helping you and those who are praying for you, just like our missionaries do. From time to time, it's important to let everyone know what God is doing, right? And to see the work that is being accomplished. So now they're visiting the churches on the way as they go back and setting them up, confirming them in the faith. And then they go back, it says here, to these other places where they've been before. Verse 24, they passed through Pisidia, came to Pamphylia, and they preached the word in Perga, and they went down unto Attalia. Now, if you take a map, you can find all these places. But anyway, they're on their way now to the city so they can go back to Antioch, and they sail down to Antioch. And the place where they had started from, where the church is praying for them, and where they're carrying on their ministry there. Here was the church that sent them out and reported on all the work that God had done through them, and how many of the Gentiles had come to faith in Christ. So the journey, according to what we understand, must have taken about 3 years. You know, if you read just one chapter or two chapters in the Bible, it sounds like, well, you know, maybe a few minutes, you know, a few weeks. No, no. 3 years they were doing this work and carrying on this ministry. And now they're going back to report. Notice what it says in verse 27. When they were come and gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them. You notice the emphasis here is what God had done with them. You see? Not to what they had done, but what He did through them. Right? And that's the way it has to be. God is the one who is working and moving and behind the scenes and accomplishing all these things. And it says, and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. To reach out to this whole new group of people who never had heard of the true and living God before. Paul and Barnabas were able to go and explain to them who He is and how we can know Him. And so here we find a great rejoicing. They're back with their home church now. And it says they abode there a long time. So they're going to stay there now and work with this church. So, spreading the good news about Jesus and his salvation is the primary work of the church, isn't it? And God calls certain ones to go forth into the field. But every believer has an important part to play in the great task of world evangelization. Now, what do? We pray. Do you pray? Do you pray for the missionary? Yes, you do. I know you do. I've heard you pray. And God answers our prayers when we lift up our voices. And by our own personal witness, we can be laboring together with God, even locally, can't we? Reach out to those around. And whatever God lays upon your heart to do, and to witness and share the gospel. So we have the worldwide means of evangelism and so forth, preaching the gospel of Christ, and then at home as well. Because we have many, many people around us who do not know the Lord, right? I don't know this morning if there's anyone here who does not know the Lord. But you have to know Him. That's what it says. Neither is salvation in any other. There's only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, through Jesus. That's the message the missionaries preached back in the first century. They're still preaching it today. And that's the message that we're bringing today. Jesus Christ is the way of salvation. And just in a few moments, we're going to commemorate His death upon the cross of Calvary for us and share in the communion service, rejoicing in all that we have in Christ. And may God bless us and help us as we seek to serve Him. To examine ourselves. So let's take a moment to sit something in your heart and mind who's bothering you. Pray that you will confess that to the Lord. Take care of that. Father, we thank you so much for our Lord Jesus Christ and all that He means to us, for His sacrifice on the cross of Calvary for our sins. We just rejoice to know that we have eternal life through Him. I pray this morning that each one of us will look into our hearts and see if there's anything there that we need to correct. Lord, forgive us of any sin, of any unrighteous thing, and help us to walk in fellowship with you and be faithful. Thank you so much for all your grace and mercy to us. Guide and help us now. Lead us by your Spirit in all that we do as we think once again of what Jesus did for us. It's all in remembrance of Him. May Jesus Christ our Savior be praised. Glory to His name. Well, you remember, Lord Jesus and the disciples were having the Last Supper together, Passover time. And at one point, Jesus made something different. He said the bread was His body that was broken for us. The wine was His blood that was shed for us. So we have before us the wonderful, wonderful plan of salvation. God has granted salvation to those who believe in Him. said this, my body did it both for you, for this, and remember it.
Father, as we take this bread and wine together, came in flesh and went through the flight, experienced all the things that we get to experience something from heaven, experience ourselves, and that you died for us all. That was crucifixion like maybe others had gone through. That time before the sins of the child. We just tell you to thank you for our friends. We ask you to be Jesus.
In the same way, you took the cup and the cup, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood, shed for many for remission of this. Lead us by your Spirit and give us wisdom and prayer in Jesus' name.